Hi, it's Terry McCarty, and after a longer than expected absence, glad to be back again with reviews and otherwise. And this today will be a lightning round. So let's start with the controversy film du jour of the moment, Alex Garland's Civil War, or as it could also be called, the ambiguous Civil War with the United States being divided into various factions. And you may not be super clear once having seen the film what factions. So my recommendation is when you come home, turn on your computer, laptop, pad, iPhone, whatever, and go to Wikipedia and you see the map of all the different colors of different government and rebel factions as Alex Garland has envisioned it. So, what does Civil War prove? It proves beyond a doubt that Alex Garland is better when he thinks small and has low to moderate budgets, such as his best film as a director, Ex Machina, and the pandemic-neglected from 2 years ago, Men, which has fine performances from both Jesse Buckley and Rory Kinnear, and is worth seeking out as a rental. And as always with Garland, the performances are good to very good. And there's occasional well-staged tension, but it's at the service of a thin, sometimes flagrantly illogical premise with lead actors fleshing out cliched journalistic archetypes, the old hand at this sort of thing, Stephen McKinley Henderson, the seasoned recruits, and inevitably the eager kid played by Kaylee Spaney. And I presume Garland was being both sides by casting Nick Offerman as a Trump-esque president who resembles Al Gore, or because the Offerman character, it's a bunch of blue states in the Northeast, once you see the Wikipedia map, then you wonder if it's supposed to be Donald Trump's brain and the body of Pennsylvania political fixer Ed Rendell. So for me, Civil War, 2.5 stars out of five. Don't get swept up in the hype, and let's move on. And we're moving on to Godzilla vs. Kong, The New Empire, which is still in theaters. And there's not a lot to say. It's essentially, it's quality-wise what you expect from the MonsterVerse. And it's outclassed in quality by Toho's Godzilla Minus One. But there are occasional inspired ideas scattered throughout. One of the more amusing ones is Godzilla using the Roman Colosseum as an Airbnb. Plus, King Kong is both underdog and adoptive parent. And if that's not enough for matinee viewing or seeing it by way of the inevitable showings on Max. There's also Mothra, who I guess with the MonsterVerse is probably just, you know, Mothra is just delegated to a Eternal support role. And moving on from there, there's Late Night with the Devil. And all I'll say about Late Night with the Devil is it is a rather clever concept. And if you're at my portion of life, born in 1959, you'll catch the real and cultural references better than a lot of young people. It's set in 1977, and the best reason to see the film is David Dastmalchian playing a late night host, and he's syndicated and based out of NYC, and hoping that his little syndicated show can, you know, come in a somewhat stronger number to the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. So, as it turns out, to make that happen on Halloween night, he goes ahead and has as a guest, or two guests, a woman who has a allegedly possessed a teenager in her charge. And so when you add to the panel a magician turned paranormal skeptic, and this character's meant to be a takeoff in the real life Amazing Randy, once you put the skeptic and the woman and the teen girl together, then various kinds of is it real or is it alleged spookiness happen, until at least for the younger audience, there's a fairly ooh-yuck violent climax. And basically, Late Night with the Devil, by the time you hear this, it's probably pretty much out of theaters and on the AMC Shudder channel. It's, you know, considering it's low budget, done over in Australia, and it's entertaining technically, and Dastmalchian carries it well, but it's kind of like a little bit over infatuated with its cleverness. So I would say probably home viewing. Your mileage may vary, and you may get more out of it by seeing it on a TV screen. So, on that note, I'll go ahead and stop for now. But I've seen enough things lately to be a little more ubiquitous, so I'll probably be doing another episode pretty soon on documentaries, such as the two music ones, Alex Gibney on Paul Simon, and also the somewhat more modest in length but quite interesting Ethan Coen and Trisha Cook, Jerry Lee Lewis, Trouble in Mind, and last of all, there's the Morgan Neville, Steve Martin, two-part epic for Apple TV Plus, and I'll hope to see you again very soon to discuss those. And if you like what you've been hearing, then I recommend you reach out via your favorite form of social media. And thanks ever so much for listening, and bye for now.